We Have Issues, Episode 3. What the did I just watch?
Welcome to We Have Issues, podcast done in Strongsville.
Strongsville, Ohio.
Strongsville, Ohio.
Whenever I call someone and they ask me my city and I say it's Strongsville, many, many times I get, that sounds like the place where Superman should come from.
Yeah. Superman came from Glenville, came from the hood. So, but anyways, let's dive into some topics today on our podcast because we have a lot of issues to discuss. I'm TJ Hill. I'm joined by Scott Kennison, and B Swizzle's off today. He's on assignment. We'll get with him later and he'll be back later for us. So let's talk about this Black Mirror episode that I watched. And this is how I came to doing this. I'm at the cigar shop one day with the fellas, you know, the Q's and everything. We're sitting there talking and they're going back and forth and debating this show. I'm like, what happened in the show? They're like, well, there was a video game being played, like Mortal Kombat, the way they explained to me. Mortal Kombat's being played, two friends, two college buddies, and the one guy plays a girl character. The other guy's a guy character, but the girl character's always winning, kicking his butt all the time. So they fast forward to the future here a little bit, a few years down the road, and they go to a party, or at a party, whatever, and he gives his friend the game, the new version, but it's virtual reality. Oh, cool. I'm thinking to myself, yeah, this is going to get really weird real quick.
Have you watched more Black Mirror episodes than just this?
I watched that first. I started watching it back when it first came out. I didn't really catch on to it, so I stopped. I watched this episode, and I watched like the whole season 5 right now.
Did you see the season 4 episode USS Callister?
Like Star Trek? I watched that. That was crazy.
Did you notice it's the same piece that he is wearing?
Oh, it is.
It is. It's the same VR technology.
It is. Oh.
There's a lot of continuity in the Black Mirror universe.
Whoa. I just thought about that. That's pretty deep. So he puts on this, you know, virtual reality thing, goes to the game. His eyes get all glossy. He passes out on the couch and he's in the game. Wow, this feels really real. They start fighting. The girl winning as usual, wind up kissing. The weird look on each other's faces. Exit game. Hey, man, next day I was drunk. I'm sorry. You know, I didn't mean to do that. That was, yeah, me too. But the funny part is you got to the bed with his wife. He had a boner. And before that, his wife tried to get with him. He wasn't, you know, responding to her. He came back in. He got a boner. So my buddy was like, hey, man, if your boy turns you on, you have homosexual tendencies. So that's where they were going with the discussion. Now, we're going to dive into that. We're going to dive into something a little deeper to what the episode meant also. But from their standpoint, the discussion was, is this now a homosexual relationship with these two guys that were college roommates? Because he got aroused by his boy. Now, one guy's argument was he was aroused by a female character, which kind of got a point, but deep down at the core, you know that's your dude controlling that character. Therefore, that's your dude that's giving you the arousal. So, that being said, if it's your boy, your brother, your homeman, your homeboy, does that mean that you have those tendencies, or does it mean that you're aroused by the character?
Let me throw out the Raving Lunatic Media disclosure here and disclaimer that it shouldn't matter.
I got that.
And I will start this by saying that I think that, you know, we're going to dive deeper in and we're going to get there. Start this by saying that it's very telling of where we are and are not as a society that one of the first things people want to talk about and they think that what the show is trying to get to and discuss is that question right there.
Yeah.
If you get turned on in a virtual reality world by a virtual reality female that is really the avatar for your male
friend,
then what does that say about your sexuality? That tells you that we're still hung up in this world on your sexuality mattering and defining you and being very, very important to people.
Absolutely.
And your own self-image, your own insecurity about these things, that this is what, you know, it stops on that level. So get that out there to say it shouldn't matter. It shouldn't be this big point of discussion and issue, but it is. This is the world we live in. It's still there. It's still an issue. And it shows how far we still have to come as a society. I think one of the key points that the episode makes is that it simulates all physical sensation. Yes. So in that moment, the physical sensation as a guy that you're going to see is a woman that arouses you.
And another thing they talked about at the cigar shop was not just the part where it may be homosexual, but the part that the one friend playing a female character was so incensed by it that he couldn't find another form that matched the satisfaction he had in the game.
Yes.
He tried messing with different women. He tried this, tried that. It wasn't the same as the sensation
that game gave him. It might just be, and the reason it'll never be the same is the game simulates all physical sensation. That was a guy, and the game was showing him what it felt like for a woman to have sex.
Yeah.
And the reason he couldn't simulate it in any other act is
because he wasn't a female.
It's not the same thing.
Exactly.
So I think the deeper question that this episode was trying to ask was, are we in the relationships we're in because of what our physical hormones tell us we should be in a relationship? Or are we in the relationship we're in because of
the emotional
relationship? And I think a lot of what this is telling you is you're in the relationship you're in because of the physical some cases.
On that note, when guys go, okay, I do security and I people watch a whole bunch when I'm doing security and I see girls come up to me and all upset, that guy is a loser. He's this, he's that. All he wants is this, all he wants is that. And I kind of like, on one hand, I'm like, duh, you know that you're coming here. You know what guys aren't coming here to see if your 401k plan is intact. They're coming here to get between your legs. And that's something that everyone that goes out should know, that a lot of things out there are based on physical, not the mental, not the emotional. You know, you see it every single week. There's one girl in particular always down there and she's always sad every week. Like me and Keith look at her and go like, here she comes again. Sad face. What's wrong? Well, I went out on a date with this guy and I didn't give him anything. So now he won't talk to me anymore. It's like, you do this every week, dude. Like, when are you going to stop and just take care of you?
Well, let me clarify something. I don't want to say that you're only with the person you're with because of the physical. Because ultimately, when you get married or you settle down into a long-term relationship, it's more than just the physical.
It starts physical, though.
But I think what this episode is trying to say is, if the physical isn't there, you're very unlikely to get to the deeper relationship thing. Because the emotional connection between dude and dude was there. They were best friends. But there was no physical connection.
Different kind of emotion, though, man.
There was no physical connection.
It's a different kind of emotion.
But as soon as the physical connection was there, the one dude can't get enough of it. They can't get enough of it. They don't even break it off at the end. They get one day a month. And that's even weirder because she gets one day a month.
Was it a month or a year?
I think it was a month.
I don't know if it was a month or a year.
I think they had it circled on the calendar. She gets one day a month and he gets one day a month. But
that's crazy.
It's a weird, it asks a lot of weird questions about the nature of relationships and why we're in the relationships that we're in. And would you avoid a relationship that is same sex if all of a sudden out of nowhere, and some people would say it can't happen, but if out of nowhere you had something click with someone who was the same sex as you? Or it might even be asking this question. You meet a transgendered woman who is now a woman but was born a man. And it works, and it clicks, and it works. And you're happy, and it's the most passion you've ever felt. Would you torch that relationship because society's conventions tell you, the mainstream tells you, that that's not okay, and you're not okay with it?
Do you know about this beforehand? Do you know going in?
You know going in.
If you know going in, then you're
like
already
like they knew going in. But see, here's the thing. The one guy knows what it is and can't get enough of it. The guy who's married knows what it is, knows how he feels about it, and he's fighting it the whole way.
He's fighting it because of his wife.
He's fighting it because of his wife. And also at the beginning, he's fighting it because of the societal taboos against it. And look, there's still societal taboos against it. And we have an intruder in the podcast room as my puppy has found her way in.
Hey, baby.
But that, you know, the truth is that for some people, there's still a societal taboo about it. And it look, we're getting to a place where it shouldn't be, but we're not there yet. And I think it asks a lot of these questions. A lot of these questions about where we're at as a society, where we're headed as a society, and why we're in the relationships that we're in some cases. In some cases, you're in the relationship that you're in because it works, and it fully works. But in some cases, maybe you're in the relationship you're in because that's what you think society expects of you. And not even male-female, but you're this type of guy, so you need this type of girl.
You see that a lot. Like I said, when I do bouncing, I see that a lot. I've seen girls that only date doctors, only date this black girl last week said, I only date guys from Avon, Westlake, and Olmsted Falls. And the other girl co-signed and said, yeah, 401k plans. Like, that's the way they think, though.
I do love the double standard. Like, if you spend any time on dating sites, okay, you will see that many women in their profile, and this is supposed to be okay, say, please don't message me if you're not 6 feet tall.
Yeah, or taller. I mean,
that would be the preference? Equivalent. That's fine. But that would be the equivalent. As a guy who is not 6 feet tall, could you imagine if a guy said, please don't message me if you're not a C cup or more?
Oh, yeah. You'd be told asshole for that. You'd be told ass for that.
It, you know, look, both sides are guilty of it. But I mean, I think in some cases, there's a lot of interesting questions asked in this episode. And I think if you can, Black Mirror is always trying to leave you at the end of it going, what in the world did I just watch? And they want you to feel unsettled.
Yeah.
And if they haven't made you feel unsettled at the end of the episode, they haven't done their job. And I used to ask why they chose as their pilot episode the one where the Prime Minister of England gets blackmailed into having sex with a pig on national TV. To completion. I often asked why they led with that one instead of 15 million credits. But I think at this point I have answered my own question. The show's goal is to make you as uncomfortable as it can for an hour. And there is not an episode that they have done that makes people more uncomfortable than that one.
Yeah. Definitely uncomfortable with that. And it's because a lot of guys, you know, have that whole persona about them where they don't agree with it, which is here or there. I don't, you know, I really don't care either way. I'm not that way. And if when I get approached to that, sometimes the guys want to approach you with that and you just let them know, hey, no, I'm good. Most guys respect that and say, all right, cool. Some guys are a little pushy. That's when you get the whole, hey, man, dude, calm down, relax.
That's the same approach as male on female, female on male.
Absolutely.
Period. When someone doesn't want your advances, then you need to back off.
Exactly.
You don't ask them why. You don't say something's wrong with them because they don't want your advances. They don't want your advances. You move on. But it is still that way. It's to that way that some people, I think, I mean, it's just, need to get to a time and a place where, you know, it's not this huge issue. Look, there's two women who love each other and want to be in a relationship with each other. How does that impact you? How does that affect you? How does that hurt you? Two guys want to be married and make a life together and have sex with each other and live together as husband and husband and build a life together the same way a man and a woman does. How does that hurt you?
Don't affect me.
How does that hurt anybody?
Look, as long as I don't affect the way I breathe, I'm good.
Choose to live that life.
As long as I don't affect the way I breathe, I'm good.
I mean,
I look at it like that. If it doesn't affect me personally, I'm cool.
It doesn't. It doesn't impact your life at all. It doesn't force you to make another choice. It comes back to something that I've said over and over and over again about America and the majority in America. They fear. There are a lot of people who absolutely fear that if you let somebody else practice their beliefs, their ideas, that are different than yours, that they will someday force you to adopt their beliefs. And you will have no choice but to adopt their belief. And that's insanity. It's absolute insanity to live in fear that if you let people practice their own ideas and beliefs and social concepts, that you will lose the ability to practice yours. So you have to force them to conform to your ideas of a social norm. It's a terrible mindset. It's a backwards mindset. And, it's a mindset rooted in fear.
And this is the way the world is, though.
And it colors all the issues in our nation, from religious strife to racial strife to gender strife to sexual identity conflict to class conflict. If we would just sit there and say, allowing person A to be person A doesn't mean that person B can't be person B and person C be person C. If we can get to that point, then all of this nonsense that makes a society a shitty place to be, so much of it would go away. Everyone talks like it's this impossibility to get past racism, sexism, classism, homophobia. It's one little concept. It is one little concept that you have to get through your head. That person being that person and practicing their self-identity that differs from mine doesn't hurt me. It doesn't harm me. It doesn't diminish me.
People don't think like that, though. They want you to conform to their beliefs 100% of the time. It's never going to be where people later live in peace. Is always going to be, no, you got to think my way, do my thing. Same thing with, you know, Trump. I have friends that, you know, I don't agree with Trump's policies and everything like that. And what do? They turn around and say, I'm a Trump hater. I'm not a Trump hater. I don't dislike Donald Trump. I think he's a clown. I don't want any harm to come to him. I don't pray that some harm comes to him or anything of that nature. I think he's really a clown and he's an embarrassment to the country, but that's my opinion. And again, my opinion shouldn't hurt anybody that's a Trump supporter. They should go, well, I disagree with you and let's move on. I mean, you can go on my Facebook and see argument after argument after argument of people just arguing about Trump, pro Trump, against Trump. And I usually put the, you know, the big E emoji when I'm eating popcorn. I put that up there and just call it a day and just watch the comments go in and out.
I've stopped.
But you see how, but it exposes people for who they really are, too. Like, on both sides. Like,
boy, there are a lot of people whose classism and racism and sexism has come out of the closet.
Oh, man.
And they are just blatantly out there with it at the moment.
It's a free-for-all, man. It's a free-for-all. And it is really, it's really crazy. But switching topics here, as we started talking about Trump, might as well continue.
I'll just get on record. I think the man's a buffoon. I dislike the man, and I don't think he's competent to run a lemonade stand. I think he is a feeble-minded, anachronistic throwback to a generation welcomely forgotten in the past and left there. And I think that his whole campaign and his movement is a farce. He's saying he ran a campaign of fear. He is pandering to a far right demographic that is entrenched in white nationalism and pulling along, incidentally, the majority of the people who voted for him who aren't white nationalists, but they don't feel that they have another option because they think that if they vote for the left and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, they're going to put in socialism and anarchy. And so he pulled all of those people along with him, regretfully. They don't want to vote for Trump, but they sure as hell aren't voting for a Democrat.
Yep.
So they don't feel they have another option. They don't like him either, but they also can't come out and say that because they need to win the next election to keep crooked Hillary or socialist communist Bernie Sanders out of office. Okay, that's my diatribe. Where were you going with this? I'm sorry.
Well, I was just saying, some of the stuff this man says is really beyond me. Like last week, you know how sometimes people have a picture of him and they will have some words under there and He might have said, he might not have said it. This is a video of him talking, and he actually threatened the whole country. He said, if I go to war with Afghanistan, not with Afghanistan, yeah. If I go to war with Afghanistan, it'll be quick. It'll be a 10-day war, and I will wipe them off the face of the earth. The only reason I don't go to war with them is because I don't want to kill 10 million people. But if I did, it'll last a week. I will wipe them from the face of the earth. Who does that? Who just sits there and tells a whole nation of people? Now, you don't think there's some Afghanistan people here in America right now that are U.S. citizens that heard him say that and go like, that's my cousin over there, man. You talking about killing my cousin, my grandmother, my aunt? You're going to wipe them all out? Because of what? What did Afghanistan do? Did they attack us? Did they attack us? I don't know about something. Like, what is the reason you would say you would wipe them from the face of the earth?
Well,
when I say, you know what, we really don't want to get into a conflict with them right now. You know, we're going to watch what's going on over there and impose sanctions maybe or something like that. But you threatened military action and wiping them off the face of the earth.
I remember in school hearing FDR's historic speech. December 7th, 1941. A day that will live in infamy. A day that the Japanese will regret forever. Because we will wipe them from the face of the earth with our tanks and our planes and our bombs. And we will win this war in 10 minutes. No. FDR said something classy. FDR said that we will win through the war with our righteous might. FDR didn't glorify going to war, but he stepped up to the challenge, and he led the nation through it. This guy demonstrates a fifth grader's understanding of war, where you think, we've got bombs, we've got planes, we'll turn your country into glass.
Yeah.
It's pretty much proven that you can't occupy a country with an air force. Air superiority helps you win a war. It neutralizes the opposition's ground force. But what we have learned in Vietnam, Iraq, the second time around, and Afghanistan, is bombing a country into rubble doesn't allow you to occupy that country and control the population. Look, Germany learned it in World War II. They bombed London for 140 days or something in the Battle of Britain. And it didn't do anything. If you're going to take over a country, you've still got to put boots on the ground with weapons in hand and control that country. And if you don't win hearts and minds, if you don't neutralize the resistance and have an overpowering ground force, you're not going to win a war. The United States standing military army is not what it used to be. We were struggling to put 150,000 troops on the ground in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Or in the Iraq war. We were struggling to come up with 150,000 boots on the ground. We don't have a million-man army to go put on the ground somewhere. You're not going to take over Afghanistan in 10 days.
No.
You might, you could, if you wanted to use atomic weapons, go reduce the country. I think
that's what he was going with, I think.
But there's a bigger problem than that, because then you're going to trigger a nuclear winter. You're going to trigger problems for everybody, including yourself.
Yes.
So if you used enough to cause that to wipe out Afghanistan, I don't think the Soviets are going to be too happy. Not the Soviets. Jeez, the Soviets. What is it? I don't think the Russians are going to be too happy about that. I don't think China is going to be too happy about that. I don't think Japan is going to be too happy about that. India is not going to be too happy about
problem.
It.
Here's a problem.
You can't just do that.
He don't care.
He doesn't understand. Because he is a feeble-minded old man who doesn't have the ability to think to the second level on anything. He sees everything as a binary decision with no second order and third order and fourth order impacts. But look, this guy, you said, you know, he also talks like a five-year-old.
Oh, my God.
Like, listen to this. Despite Democrats wanting very unsafe open borders and refusing to change the loopholes in asylum, tremendous progress is being made the southern border, We all waited because we assumed the Dems would ultimately be forced to change the horrible immigration laws. They didn't! Exclamation point. I would expect the president to be able to compose something better in writing than that.
No.
He sounds like a dim junior high school student when he speaks and talks. This is going to surprise a lot of people right now. My voting record for president is Bush, Bush, McCain, Romney, Gary Johnson. I am not a Democrat, but I'm smart enough to tell you that what this man represents is not Republicanism. What the Republican Party represents is not the Republican Party that I was a part of. And he is killing the Republican Party every day. This man is dangerously unstable, dangerously uneducated, dangerously impulsive, and nowhere near as intelligent as he tells you that he is.
No, he's not. Now, I had to get on the Afghanistan thing. I thought it was just ludicrous that he said that. But what I really want to talk about was the whole thing with the report that came out last week, the Senate hearings or whatever, with what's his name, Mueller? Is that his name?
Yeah.
And when they asked him, you know, did Trump do any wrongdoing? He said, I can't say he didn't. He's not, how do you say that? He's not innocent of obstruction, put it that way. They said, well, can we charge him? He said, cannot charge a sitting president. This goes back to Nixon, the whole sitting president thing. This started with Nixon. They put something to the effect back then, you cannot prosecute or charge a sitting president with a crime, which I think is crazy, by the way. The only way to get him out of office for a crime is to impeach him. You can't just go up in the White House and arrest him and say, hey, you're under arrest, president. You can't do that. Why? I don't know. So your president can shoot somebody in the head in the Oval Office and not go to jail? Is that what we're saying? What is the determination of how far this law really goes? You know, what crimes is he immune from while he's in office? He can't be immune from every crime while he's in office. That's crazy. That means the president is indeed above the law.
Well, it goes back to a very famous question by interviewer David Frost, who asked Nixon, you know, when the president does it, it means that it's not illegal.
I just read that, yeah.
Yeah. And that was Nixon's interpretation of it.
Exactly.
Which, you know, there's a bunch of different things going on here. One, I think it does have to be more difficult to arrest the sitting president and charge the sitting president with a crime than it does me or you, or even a congressman. This man is running the country.
Yes.
He is the chief executive of the country, tasked with carrying out and enforcing all the laws of Congress and the decisions of the Supreme Court. That person, you can't just have that person indicted by an overzealous district attorney because he doesn't like him for political reasons. And that would be happening. How long would Obama have lasted if a Republican district attorney could just bring an indictment and charges against him?
Yeah.
They'd have found something within days. Trump would have been indicted within days. Every president would have been indicted by the opposition party within days. There's a good counterargument that the framers of the Constitution could have put in a clause that protected the president and gave him immunity from prosecution, and they didn't. But I think you've got to look into, I always try to look at the Constitution as, what is the spirit of that document? What were they intending? And what is the common sense application of it today? The framers didn't give the president immunity, but they absolutely specified how he could be removed from office and how the president could be accused of a crime and how you had to try the president for those crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the impeachment process. So I think the theory behind this is, if the president murdered someone, you would bring impeachment charges. You would impeach him and remove him from office on murder. And then once removed from office, you would charge him.
You take his passport?
Huh?
You take his passport, lock up Air 51? Because they're going to leave. I'm out of here. Air 51, I got to go over to Norway or something like that. Hey, man, I mean, it's... The law is funny. Laws are funny. And it's a lot of it is how you really want to interpret them. You know what I mean? Because did he do any wrongdoing? We don't know. Is he completely innocent? They're saying he's not. So there's something more going on to this whole Russian thing that they're not saying.
I have listened to the report and I've looked at the facts. And I think anyone that has with an objective mind and you set your politics aside, the left would have you believe that he's guilty of everything personally. Mm-hmm. The right would have you believe that he's guilty of nothing. If you set your politics aside and you look at this, Russia actively intervened in the 2016 election with the determination of swaying the vote to Donald Trump. Did they do that because they wanted Donald Trump in office? Probably not. Did they do that because they wanted Hillary Clinton out of office? Probably not. They looked at the polls, and the polls said Hillary Clinton will win. And they wanted to see how effective their propaganda misinformation campaign could be in America. So the way to do that is not to come in on the side of the candidate who's winning. The way to do that is to see what type of boost you can give to shift public opinion to the candidate who's currently losing. So they came in and said, if we throw our weight behind the candidate who's losing, which is Trump, can we make him the winner? And they did.
So
and they
you're did. Saying that this is all an experiment.
It was an experiment by Russia. Look, for years, we manipulated Russia with our propaganda campaigns when it was the Soviet Union. We were the propaganda masters of the world. The way the Cold War was won, a lot of it was with propaganda. The United States has the best propaganda machine in the world, or at least it did. Russia did to us what we have done to the rest of the world since World War II. And no one here wants to wake up to that.
No.
If Hillary Clinton was in the polls to lose, Russia would have came in to try to shift things to her side. Don't be surprised if the Russian misinformation machine in 2020 is working against Trump to show, to find out, okay, we got this guy elected. Can we get him voted out? Can we get him voted out? Don't be surprised. But anyone looking at this objectively, the facts absolutely support 100% that Russia was trying to influence American public opinion in the direction of voting for Donald Trump and away from Hillary Clinton. It is undeniable. It is factual. It is documented 9 ways from Sunday. It is also undeniable that agents of this Russian operation reached out to the Trump campaign, to no less than Donald Trump Jr., who by his own admission met with agents of the Russian hackers to discuss damning information on Hillary Clinton. It is in emails, factually documented, that he said, if you have it, I want it. It is also probably true, and this is where I get into the probablys, because now I can't prove this. It is probably true that Donald Trump knew about this meeting, knew what was being discussed, and gave his verbal approval.
We will never know.
Because he was smart enough or stupid enough to not use email. And yeah. I say stupid enough because I'm not sure he's technologically savvy enough to really use email. He can barely use Twitter.
Yeah.
But it is beyond any debate that the Trump campaign was approached by Russia and was open and amenable to receiving information. Did they get any information from Russia? We don't know. Did they pay for any information from Russia? We don't know. Did Donald Trump come out and work with them? Was there a coordinated effort between Russia and the Trump campaign? Possibly, but we don't know. Yeah. What we do know is the Trump campaign knew what Russia was doing and chose not to report it.
Well, by that, but what you're saying right there,
there's probably not enough evidence to impeach him.
I understand that, but there is smoke.
There's a lot of smoke. And if Donald Trump was a private citizen, the investigation would have turned up enough information to indict him and bring charges. If Donald Trump was a private citizen, he would be in court right now for charges.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But he's the president. There is probably no evidence of collusion, and there is not enough evidence to impeach him for high crimes and misdemeanors. It's just not there. This is not Watergate where you can follow the money. The money, the hard link that can get him out of office, has not turned up. It might yet still, but as of yet, it is not there.
Well, that's enough about Trump today, I think. What about you?
Yeah, you know, this wasn't on the topic list, but you mentioned Area 51. Did you? I know you had to have seen this idiotic Facebook group that wants to storm Area 51.
Listen, people. Leave that shit alone. It's not for you.
You're gonna die.
There's a reason that it's a secured facility. If you take your ass up there, they're gonna kill you. Legally kill you. You are going on to a military base and you're not in the military. They're going to shoot you.
It's going to be target practice.
It's not going to be detaining. They're going to shoot you from a sniper 1,000 yards away. Don't do it.
And if you're sitting there thinking, I've got my AR, I've got my gun.
They got something way better.
In the history of war, militia doesn't beat the regular military ever. You may sit there and say Vietnam, they never won a battle. They just outlasted us. You might say the Continental Army beat the British. Got beaten every stand-up battle. We just outlasted them. Okay? In the end, you will not win. They will kill you. You know why they're going to kill you? It has nothing to do with aliens. The only thing being tested at Area 51 is developmental aircraft. But they're still not going to let you in there to see it. If there are aliens, think about this, people. Bindernagel. Think about this.
No, you didn't just drop a thing.
If the United States had an Air Force base where they kept the UFOs, the aliens, and the flying spaceships, do you really think that they would put up signs outside of it, identifying the name of the base, telling you that it's a super secret United States base, and warning you to turn around and go away? If said base exists, there is zero identification that it's a military base, and they will not ask you to turn around and go away if you end up on it. They will just kill you. Or, if said base exists, it's a VFW hall. That isn't even identified as a VFW hall. It's like Tom's Laundry Service. And when you go in, there's a front for a laundry service. And you go into the back room and it's an elevator that takes you down 100 feet into a bunker. They're not going to identify it. It would be far more likely that Wright-Patterson Air Force Base would be where the UFOs were kept. If we had them. Which we don't.
Well,
because the interstellar distances are far too massive to travel. And science makes it nearly impossible to travel those distances. But I digress. Don't storm Area 51. You're going to die. This is as terrible as an idea as the idiots who wanted to greet Hurricane Irma by shooting it. And 53,000 people signed a Facebook petition to show up at the ocean and shoot their guns at Hurricane Irma as it made its way on shore.
That's
to
crazy.
Show them that in Florida, we shoot first. They actually had to post graphics to show you why if you shoot your bullets into the hurricane, they're going to come back at you.
Jesus. Look, it goes to show you, man, America. People are idiots. Plain and simple, man.
It's a much easier life if you just start with the assumption that 80% of the people you meet are stupid.
Pretty much. Now, no, we used to do this. Wonderful show, that bell over there. Just touching on that for a second. Have you watched any of it lately?
I have not watched a single hour since WrestleMania.
Okay.
I found out the other day that Ronda retired.
She didn't retire.
Took a hiatus.
She took a hiatus right after WrestleMania. Broke her hand.
I haven't watched an hour since WrestleMania.
Last night was really weird. Really weird. Seth Rollins was fighting Dolph Ziggler. Good match. You know, two quality guys. Good match going back and forth. Is there a thing with Shawn Michaels going on right now where he's coming out to Shawn Michaels' music? He super kicked Shawn Michaels last week on SmackDown. This week he Seth Rollins was kind of getting revenge for Sean. Seth is in the ring. Sean music hits. Crowd's go crazy. Here comes Dolph. And then like pants like Sean's and jacket like Sean did Sean's pose and everything.
He's really good at impersonating wrestlers.
He is. Good
match. Does the Famous or better than Billy Gunn did?
Now, interesting part about the show is out of nowhere, no advertisement, nothing. Brock's music hits. Brock comes out. Gives a belt to Paul. Dolph Ziggler grabs his leg, grabs Seth's leg, and gives him upper hand. I don't think I've seen Brock beat anybody up as badly as he beat up Seth Rollins last night. Like, it looked like they had beef in the back and Brock came out whoop his ass for real. It was pretty gruesome. The crowd was disturbed by it. Corey Graves was disturbed by it. Corey Graves was like, do we gotta watch this again? Like, you could tell he was pissed off. Like, he was playing it, but you could tell he was a little pissed off by it too because Brock went a little too far.
Like, that doesn't surprise me.
Brock gave him three, what do you call it, F5s or whatever?
And calls it the F5.
On a chair. The chair was not folded. It was open with his ribs hit each time on the chair.
Yeah, you can't fake that.
Now,
you can choreograph it, but you can't fake it.
He was coughing up blood, but I'm trying to figure out when he put the capsule in his mouth. Or if he did put a capsule in his mouth.
Well, no, if he doesn't show up for a few weeks.
Got to the point where Paul Heyman was like, stop. And then he kind of whispered to him like, dude, that's good. When he saw him coughing up blood, he looked at him. He was like, looked at Brock, looked at Seth.
Did anybody do the X?
I didn't see that. There was a lot going on. I didn't see that.
Behind, pro tip, if you see an official do the X arms, that someone's really hurt.
That wasn't the end. That's not even how they ended the show.
They might have changed that signal at this point since everybody knows it now.
That's not the end of the show. That wasn't the end of the show. What sold it to me as is work is that when he was getting taken on the stretcher, Becky didn't get an ambulance. Becky was standing there, but didn't get an ambulance. As she was standing there, kind of had her hands in her head, because she got her ass up last night too, by the way. Yeah, it was crazy. Roman Reigns is right there watching and he's all pissed off. Then you see the Usos getting jumped. So he jumps in there and Samoa Joe and the OC jumping the Usos. They're going at it. And it ended last night with a brawl. Just a big brawl. That's how it ended. Which is kind of like a throwback a little bit to the old Attitude Era where they're trying to get more gory, more hardcore. SmackDown tonight, we'll see what happens. SmackDown.
Well, they are moving the right way.
They are.
Return to the Attitude. You can't go back fully to the Attitude Era, which was during the height of the Howard Stern era where it was just be as crude and lewd as you can. But you've got to get out of this PG era where you're making the show safe for 9-year-olds. Well, because if you want adults to watch, you got to give them something that's a little edgy.
But the ratings were low last night. Like a million less viewers. They know Brock was going to be there. Now, I think it's a smart move because now everybody knows Brock showed up without announcing it. So now next week, everybody's going to tune in. It's like, well, Brock might show up again. For some reason, these people like Brock Lesnar.
What WWE's got to realize is it's not about ratings anymore. What the WWE fan needs to realize is it's not about TV ratings anymore. WWE is moving towards that network model. Look, they're still getting $10 a month from me, and I haven't watched it since WrestleMania because I forgot to cancel the network. They don't need you to tune in every week. They need your $10 a month.
Yeah.
The $10 a month makes up for any of the lost ad revenue or lost TV contracts they get from USA. You also got to realize that a lot of people are time shift watching it on Hulu, which doesn't go into the ratings.
True.
The whole TV game is changing to where it is not about, they're going to have to change how they watch this. It is not about how many people watch it in its first airtime. It's about how many people. It has changed how you consume media. Look, I love Stranger Things. I haven't watched Stranger Things season 3 yet because I'm watching other things. And you just, it's out there. It's on the list. I'm going to get to it. The whole media game is going to change as to when did you watch it and did you ultimately watch it. So I wouldn't be concerned if I was the WWE about TV ratings. I would be more concerned about how many people are hanging on to their network subscription and total views per week, counting all different ways to access it. That to me would be the way to go. If I was a WWE, I would be putting Raw and SmackDown on the network, but they can't do that because they'll lose the TV contract.
Exactly.
I would be putting replays up and out. They still can't do that because then why would anybody watch it on TV?
True.
But ultimately, WWE might want to go to its own model where it moves everything onto the network and you can only watch it on the network and then they sell advertising on the network.
That's a move. That's a move they can make.
I'm sure they're considering it and they've vetted it more than I have. But if WWE wants to, look, I'll be honest. The only reason I was watching WWE was because we were doing a podcast. I was forcing myself to watch it. I was not incredibly entertained by anything going on in WWE for the entire year we were doing a WWE podcast. I thought it was a watered down shell of what it used to be. And that's the reason we quit doing Onefall. Because all three of us thought it was just, you know.
We were talking about nothing.
You're watching it out of habit at this point.
Yeah, and it's boring to watch. Now it's interesting to watch. It's funny how we stopped doing the podcast. Now it's kind of getting interesting again. But it's not to the full... It's not to the full power to where it's worth doing a podcast. Like, we're mentioning it right now for 10 minutes because something happened of note. But to do a whole podcast on wrestling right now, it would be a waste of time because there's not enough heat. Not even AEW, whatever you call it, or All Elite, or whatever you call it. I haven't seen them yet, so I can't base what they're doing to events off of pay-per-views that cost $65. I'm not paying ever again $65 for a pay-per-view. No matter what
not
it
a
is.
Chance.
No matter what it is. I'm not doing it. Especially for a new company that I don't know the wrestlers. It's not happening. So when they premiere in October on TNT, then I'll have a better idea what's going on. Because you'll have wrestling Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday in the fall. You have Raw on USA, SmackDown on Fox, and AEW on TNT. Which, great for wrestling fans. But are they going to be able to hang? We will see. You wanted to talk about some Star Trek tonight, didn't you?
Near and dear to my heart is Star Trek.
Yes.
And coming soon, early 2020, I like Discovery, but I don't, if I had to rate Discovery, to me, it would come in after, as much as I like it, it would come in after all of the prime
timeline. Did you see the second season of Discovery?
I did. I really liked it. Discovery is a very good show.
Dark.
It
man.
Was. And it could just be a nostalgia thing.
Where are they going?
I like Discovery.
Real quick, Discovery. Where are they going with this?
Into the future.
Where are they? I mean, seriously? You just got wiped from history.
Yeah. It's a brilliant move that they did. They didn't want to be confined by existing Star Trek canon.
It's crazy.
And that confines writers. So they sent everyone into the future. And now they can have this crew make its own adventures 900 years in the future.
That's crazy.
And no one can say that doesn't fit with canon.
So are they going to upgrade their ship now? 900? I mean.
It's going to be a challenge.
It's crazy with that.
They're going
to
be
I'm
way
really
out
interested
of
to see what's going on with this.
I like Discovery. I thought it was an enjoyable show. But I am really excited about Star Trek Picard because it opens up all of these avenues. Okay. Patrick Stewart is reprising his role as Jean-Luc Picard.
Yeah.
The trailer in one of them, he's an admiral. He's retired from Starfleet. A disaster happened on a mission that he was leading pretty much. They say it was our greatest mission, our greatest rescue mission. He was their greatest leader. And then he retired. And something caused him to lose his faith in himself, the Federation, humanity. The next trailer that came out gives you a lot of more of what the show is going to look like. And Brent Spiner is in there, who's the actor who plays Data. And you're not sure if he's in there as the B4, which was the android they found in Star Trek Nemesis that was an earlier prototype version of him that he downloaded his memory into, or if he's in there as Data. It is known, though, that Brent Spiner, the actor who plays Data, says Data makes appearances in the show. I can say that. And Data is a story point in this season as well, but I'm not in every episode. I'm not a major character. I'm okay with that. Because if Data was a major character, then it's just Next Generation Part 2 and it's the Picard Data show all over again.
Yeah.
But having Data there, is Data in there as a flashback that Picard's talking to in his mind? Or is Data in there as Data?
Interesting.
Because in the trailer, Picard says, 15 years ago or however many years ago, Commander Data sacrificed his life to save me. And it shows a disassembled Data. Marina Sirtis, Counselor Troi, Jonathan Frakes, Commander Riker are on board to appear in an episode. I think this is going to be really good because it's going to show you a Jean-Luc Picard who's questioning himself, questioning the Federation, questioning humanity. And it's a good counterpoint to the Gene Roddenberry version of perfect humans and a perfect humanity. And I think it fits the time we're in now. Star Trek has always fit the attitude of the nation. Star Trek in the 60s was hopeful. It was optimistic. We will get better. We will conquer everything. And our indomitable spirit and our intelligence will let us achieve even the stars. Star Trek The Next Generation fits with the 80s. Not only are we going to conquer everything, we're going to set aside all of our differences. We're going to become one humanity. We're going to overcome poverty and hunger and disease. People don't even fear dying anymore in Roddenberry's Next Generation version. Deep Space Nine shows you where we were headed at the end of the 90s. There's some demons out there, and we're not certain. Star Trek Discovery and Star Trek Picard shows you where we are as a nation as we head into 2020. We're questioning things. We're questioning our course. We're questioning our destination. We're questioning if all of the positivity of the 80s and 90s was just a lie. And were we only headed that way because things were really good and there wasn't any adversity in our face at the moment? And we're questioning where we're headed. I'm very interested about it. And for one more reason, I'm pumped up about this. There are callbacks. A Captain Picard Day sign, which is right out of a Next Generation episode, which, you know, callbacks don't make or break a show, but I just like it because it shows that you're paying attention to what came before.
Mm-hmm.
But I like this because it opens up other avenues. If you can go back and tell a story about Jean-Luc Picard now, then why can't you go back and tell a story about what happened to Ben Sisko after What We Leave Behind ended, where he was trapped in the wormhole with the prophets and they were teaching him because he was still their emissary? So now, if you can do Picard, why can't you come back and say Sisko was in the wormhole with the prophets, the Celestial Temple, for 25 years? And bring him back and say an older Avery Brooks as an older Ben Sisko, reprising his role as the emissary.
Okay.
With a post J.J. Abrams 2379 Federation. And what is the emissary's role for Bajor and the Federation? Because they still had work for him. There were storylines to tell. Why can't you go back and do that? Enterprise has only been off the air for 15 years. Why can't you jump that forward 5 or 10 years and use some de-aging techniques and give us Enterprise Season 5 with the Earth-Romulan War that we were always supposed to get and do it right? You can do spinoffs. You can do a Riker series on the Titan. You can go back and get LeVar Burton, show me what happened to Geordi and have Captain Geordi LaForge out there. Michael Dorn is willing to reprise the role of Worf.
Really?
Some people would say you don't need to go back into all of this nostalgia. But you have these amazing characters that are developed and fleshed out. Why not give some of these characters a 1 or 2 season run and continue telling this story?
Yeah.
Why not? Why not go back into that well?
Is William Shatner still alive?
Yes, he is.
I mean, hey.
Alive and kicking.
There you go. Bring him back one more run.
Now he died in Generations, though, in the worst on-screen death ever.
There is a I heard a rumor about the guy that played Pike in Discovery. He's willing to get his own show.
That is a good idea.
Yeah. They said something about that because his story ends tragically, correct?
Yes. So like
they show the future of him and they saw his future.
And that's a good continuity because in the original series, if you watch The Menagerie, The Cage, I always forget. The pilot is The Cage. The two-parter is The Menagerie. If you watch The Menagerie, Captain Pike rushes in, like in Discovery, rushes in to save some cadets. And the radiation paralyzes him in a mobility chair, and his body is wrecked. And they take him back to Talos IV, where the mind control aliens will make him believe that he is young and has his mobility again and he can live happily. So Discovery gives him a glimpse of that future, and it's all the better because it shows that when he did that, he knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
He goes and saves all of those cadets, all of those civilians, and loses his own mobility, and he sees his body is just wrecked. He's in a mobility chair. And he can only communicate by blinking yes or no. One blink for no, two blinks for yes.
Jesus.
Yeah.
What a horrible way to do that character.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, back to Picard, it seems confirmed that Spiner is coming back as Data, not the B4. It's also, Seven of Nine is in this. Did you see that? Seven of Nine is going to be in the Picard series. They got Jerry Ryan to come back as Seven of Nine. That's a nice touch.
Yeah, I saw that.
Hugh, who played in two episodes of the original season as a Borg, is going to be in this. There's the Romulans have captured the Borg, and they've got a Borg prison. The Romulans are using Borg technology. It's crazy. This show is going to be... I am so pumped up about this. This is the Star Trek show I've been waiting for since DS9 went off the air, because Enterprise, I like it, but it wasn't what I was hoping, and neither was Abrams Trek, and I like Discovery, but my faith for the franchise, it is my favorite franchise. I'm a huge Trekkie. Anyone who knows me knows that.
Yes.
I can't wait for this. If this was click and I could hit the fast forward button, I might be fast forwarding to 2020 right now. I'm that pumped up.
Now, is it early 2020 or fall early 2020?
Early 2020. I'm thinking January 2020.
Okay. I cannot wait for it to happen, too. It's going to be interesting to watch. You know, next show, I want to talk about shows. Different shows is out there. There's a lot of shows out there that have quality shows. You don't watch Power. I would like for you to catch a couple episodes of Power to get the idea. It's not something you want to watch a whole thing because this more multiple seasons, but I think like the first episode or two will give you an idea what the show's about.
Yeah, I started watching Jessica Jones, and that's actually a pretty good show.
Is it?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I haven't watched that. Have you watched Ozark?
No, I've heard I've got to watch that too.
Oh, Scott, you have to watch Ozark. It is phenomenal. Now, I was told it was, when I was first told about the Ozark, they were like, oh, Ozark on Netflix, great show. What's it about? And my one buddy explains to me like this. He said, you watch Power? I'm like, yeah, I watch Power. He said, it's the Caucasian version of Power. And I'm like, interesting. So when I first watched the first episode, it's Jason Bateman, I think it is. And I saw him. I was like, oh, it's going to be good. I like him as an actor. I don't think I've seen anything he's in that I don't like, comedy or drama. Okay. So I'm like, all right, it's going to be good. Jason Bateman's going to be here. And I started watching it. And I think I watched the first two seasons in like a week and a half. I just couldn't stop. Like each, like episode would end, I'll come from bouncing, I'll watch episode and it'd be like 3 a.m. And then Netflix starts the next episode right away.
Yep.
And I'll just be like, okay, I might as well just go ahead and watch a little bit of this. And then I'm 3 episodes in. It's like, holy shit,
I know how that can happen. Okay. So Ozark and Power. Okay. Do you have a We Have Issues, I Have Issues with rant to end the show?
You know, I could go back to Trump about some things, but I just don't care.
I do.
Cause he's just, it's just beyond me how not dumb he is, but dumb the people that voted for him is, because he said it on record. If I ever ran for president, I'll run as a Republican because they're dumb and I'll get in. And what happened? He called a shot. But they're so blindly influenced by him. Like he motherfucked the whole city of Baltimore. And I know a guy from Baltimore. It's always about Baltimore. It's Baltimore that. He ain't said a word about his president dogging his hometown. But if I say the Browns are going to do this, he'll go off about the Browns are clowns. But your man insulted your city. Talking about people that live there are trash pretty much. You're from there. Your president called you trash. You ain't saying nothing about it. Why? it's almost like a cult following this guy has, where everything he says is gold, no matter what he does. And people will try to defend him and go, well, I'm not saying he has his faults, but what? Like, oh, the economy's doing this. Let me know if your paycheck is substantially more now than it was when he got in the office. Let me know how he personally affected your income. He hasn't. So you saying the economy is on the rise don't mean shit, because your economy
been on the rise since 2014.
Because your economy ain't on the rise. He ain't doing all this. This is not a magical, I'm Trump, you work now. No, people hungry. They want jobs.
The economy began turning in 2014. Actually began turning before that, but the economy began turning in 2014. It didn't matter who was elected in 2016. Matter. It's called a business cycle.
There you go.
The economy is going to turn again in about 2021, and it doesn't matter who's in office. It does not matter who. Warren Buffett can be in office with Bill Gates as his vice president. And I don't know if Alan Greenspan's dead. If he is, then the resurrected body of and mind of Alan Greenspan can be running the Treasury Department. And it won't matter. In 2021 or 2022, this economy is turning downhill again. Anyway, I have issues with assholes who tie up the line at the gas station with lottery tickets. Go to hell. If I walk in there, I walked into the gas station the other day to pay for gas, because I didn't have my debit card with me. When I walked in, there was one lady in line with her lottery tickets and me. When I left, the line was 12 deep.
Whoa.
She had 40 tickets and had the guy scan each of them individually for winners. She didn't even scan her own tickets to cash
you
only
do
the
that.
Winners.
You can do that. It's a machine. You do it yourself.
She had him scan them all.
Old lady?
Then. Probably in her 50s, 40s, 50s. Okay. Had him scan every single one of them. Put the credit in. And then she said, no, I don't want the cash. I want one of these.
Oh my God.
Two number sevens. A number six. I don't know. Three number fives. How much money do I have left? Listen, bitch. There's 20 people behind you. Use the machine. There's an automated machine over there that you can sit there and fuck around and figure out your lottery tickets. We're trying to get gas because we got to get home or we got to get to work. Someone's got to pick up their kids. We got places to fucking go. We got more things to do with our life than play the goddamn lottery because there's nothing else left to do. Every single person in here wants to knock you in the back of the head. I hope you drive home and get four flat tires, and while you're changing your tires on the side of the freeway, a semi-truck kicks up mud on you and a bird shits on your head and a raccoon with rabies bites your fucking leg.
Oh my God.
You drive me crazy.
Okay.
I have issues with you. Be cognizant in the gas station of the fact that you're tying up the fucking line. People are trying to get in and out.
And there you have the rant from Scott Innocent.
Over the top?
Not at all.
With the raccoon with rabies biting her in the leg?
I feel your pain.
I mean, I didn't wish her any physical harm besides rabies.
Not at all.
Hypothetical person.
Cure that.
I got nothing else. Listen, I spend time trying to come up with that rant on the way out because I don't do quick rants anymore. So that's what I got. So. Not as good as the if you're a man in America and you get married, you're an idiot rant. No. Which nothing I ever do will be that good.
That was awesome. I wish I could find that.
Don't find that. I don't want, you know.
I love it.
My girlfriend, who I love to death, heard that rant before she started dating.
Did she?
Yes, she knows that rant.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah.
Okay. And she's still here. That's good.
She's still here.
That's good. That's a good thing.
She's amazing.
You're good. All right, man. I think that's it for this week, man.
We're out.